sermon this evening comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink, so a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him toward the left. Even when the fool walks along the road, his sense is lacking, and he demonstrates to everyone that he is a fool. Pray with me. Father, help us now, and please bless us. Please give us understanding. Please give us wisdom. Please show us the best ways to guard our own hearts and to direct our own hearts. Show us the best ways to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, that we will be living in accordance with wisdom and turning away from foolishness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here Solomon makes this reference in verse 1, dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. This must have been something that people would hear and say, oh yeah, right, I know that, I get that. I guess in your life I'd have to ask the question, what stinks? What do you find in your house that stinks? What reminds you or shows you that neglect stinks? Perhaps you've been around people and you've sensed a bit of neglect when you've been around them. Something has stunk when you have been around them. One of the worst things that we smelled, we had a car and the car began to reek and stink and we didn't know why. Eventually we figured out that someone had given me a potato gun and I had forgotten about it and it had been in the trunk. And what I didn't know was there was a potato in the potato gun in the trunk. It began to rot. It began to stink. In our own lives, there are things that you will speak to and that you will say about these things that stinks. What is it? What does it mean? We could ask the question, what's the worst thing that you have ever smelled? Parents would probably have some very particular memories of things that have stunk in their lives, things that we have dealt with, waste that we have dealt with. Well, here, as Solomon moves along, he's giving us this reference that we would have some remembrance of something that has stunk, something that has filled your nostrils, that you have wanted to move away from it. Here he's dealing with something so specific that there is this idea that there's perfumers. That's their job. The perfumers make these things that smell pretty. That is their intention. That is their work. But then, through neglect, flies landing in the oil, not having been removed, rather than this smelling good, this stinks. All the effort that has been forth to make something beautiful, all the oils that have been drawn forth to make something beautiful, to do these good things that would actually bring a profit, it comes to the place where it's the absolute opposite. We can look at our lives and we can consider the sin that has been offered to us. We would work and we would labor to do something good. Here we see that a little bit of foolishness, just a little bit, is weightier than both wisdom and honor. We could look at our lives and we can think of pastors. We could think of someone who has labored their entire life for the sake of the gospel to do these great and beautiful things, working as a servant, and then something goes awry in their lives. And this little bit of foolishness seems heavier and weightier than a whole life of service to the church. A little bit of foolishness is weightier than honor and wisdom. So we look at our lives and we're going to be having the question, what does it mean for you to move towards wisdom and away from foolishness? Now, you know, we can think of, I almost hate to bring it up, but we can think of teenage boys. You know, oftentimes we look at boys or we look at young boys and we shrug when they're being fools. And we say, boys will be boys. There's a song dealing with the children in Bethel who are making fun of Elisha, the prophet, as they come out. And in the song it says, boys will be boys. And the answer is, if boys will be boys, boys will be lunch. As the call of the prophet is made and the bears come out of the woods and they maul the boys. We're really working, even with young boys, to help them walk in accordance with honor and to walk in accordance with wisdom, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Son, Jesus Christ. Because a little bit of foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. The same concept is true in our lives. Now we're going to look and see the wisdom and honor that we truly strive for lines up specifically with grace and truth. Forgiveness, loving kindness, faithfulness, the truth in God's Word. These are the things that Christ has shown us. These are what we strive for. So as we move through Ecclesiastes 10, 1 and 3, and a few other passages to help us along, the call for you tonight is to demonstrate grace and truth. We're going to tie these in together to the concept of wisdom. So our first step is keep removing foolishness. Verse 1, dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. So a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. Where is the foolishness in your life? Where do you find yourself going astray? Where do you find yourself with these little things that really seem to trip you up and cause you to take two steps back when you're only making one step forward? We read Romans chapter 12. And I'll read verses 1 and 2 again. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We're coming to this passage and we're coming to this concept to see that the foolishness that we are demonstrating, it's a flaw in our thinking as we are Christians, as we are people who are trusting in Christ, as we are people who believe in the Word. Each time where we're going astray, each time when we're giving into temptation, we can look and say, I've believed a lie. I have believed it again. I have been pursuing joy. I have been pursuing peace. And this is wisdom. This is honorable to pursue joy and to pursue peace in the Lord. But then something else, some foolishness was promised to me that has caused me to go off sides. And I've stumbled and I have fallen into this again. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Isn't that what we're doing each time we sin? There is some lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God that we are leaning towards or running towards, that we are trusting in, rather than trusting in grace, rather than trusting in the truth. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This goes back to that passage in Psalm 19, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Actually taking our thoughts captive. And as you are washing yourself in the Word and being washed in the Word, as you are filling your life with the Word, we will start to see those things that are contrary to life, that are contrary to truth. You will be growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll be making an effort to keep moving from foolishness and removing foolishness from our lives. Now, identifying the foolishness in our lives, and this brings us to our second step, we can ask the question, what is a stench to God? What are the things that we do that stink to him? Again, dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. We can look at our lives and understand we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand, that we would walk in them. We are that perfumer's oil that he has labored, that we would be a beautiful aroma in life, that we would be that sacrifice that is pleasing to God. He would smell and say, nice. I've seen my children do things at different times where maybe they'll say, nice. Keep it up. I've seen you do things and I could say, nice. Way to go. That is well-pleasing. The sacrifices we make, the ways that we love one another, the ways that we love the Lord. Well, what are the things that would stink in God's nostrils that we would do? First and foremost, we would could look at the greatest commandment and say, a lack of love for Christ. A lack of love for Christ stinks. It causes us to serve ourselves in selfish ways. A lack of love for one another, a general lack of biblical love, stinks. Micah 6:8, the Lord has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. Proverbs 3:3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. We see when we deviate from these places of true love, these places of true service, these will be the things that stink. These are the times where we're not living as God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for these good works that he prepared in advance that we could walk in them. So we look at our lives for selfishness. Selfishness is foolishness. Selfishness stinks. Our next step, number three, what is a stench to God and your neighbors? Now, I don't just say what is a stench to your neighbors, because your neighbors might rejoice in unrighteousness and long for you to move forward in unrighteousness with them. But we see that there is a stench that is present that could be a stench to God as well as a stench to our neighbors. I'm pulling out Romans chapter 12, verses 10, 11, and 17. Romans 12, 10, and 11. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And let's make that a pure love and a true love, because we understand love can be distorted and twisted. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And we've had that idea of honor in the passage as well. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In verse 17, never pay back evil. And we could say, never pay back evil with more evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Now, again, we look at what is true love. And we look at the ways in which we are to love one another. So if in your own house, and I know that this is the case in your own house, if you live with anyone whatsoever, in your own house, I know that there are tensions there. And we know that there are tensions there because of selfishness. We know that there is selfishness in a house because we're people. People and sanctification is still taking place in our hearts. Sanctification still is taking place in our lives. And we are to be putting off that selfishness in exchange for love for Christ and love for our neighbors. This is what the Lord loves. Our next step, number four, is store up wisdom in your heart. Verse 2, a wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him toward the left. Now, what are we talking about here, this right and this left? It really can just be this simple. In the place of wisdom, we're being directed in one particular direction. That'll be in accordance with true love and in accordance with truth. The other direction is in accordance with selfishness. And we understand that selfishness brings about the opposite of what is promised. Selfishness brings about isolation. Selfishness brings about death rather than life as we understand it in Christ. Again, Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. That kindness, that's grace there. That's that word hesed that I love so much and I love to keep bringing out. I was surprised to find it in Micah 6:8 that we are to love this and we are to have it. We are to bind it on our hearts. That the same grace that we have been shown in Christ Jesus, we are to bind on our hearts so that it is projected in our lives. That we're showing grace and that we're showing forgiveness with our closest neighbors and everyone that we're coming into contact with. Do not let grace and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Just write them on the tablet of your heart. You know what's a lot easier than writing scripture on the tablet of your heart? It's just writing it on your mind. A brother of mine shared a scenario. He said, there's this man that he knows that can quote any portion of scripture. You can give him a pop quiz and say, well, what's in the middle of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 through the middle of 1 Corinthians chapter 6? And he can rattle it off. I would love to be able to do that. And he said, but when he was talking to this man, he was able to quickly see these areas when the man was off and he was asking about this or asking about that in this situation, and the man quickly changed the subject. In my own life, I can see that I can listen through large chunks of scripture and I can make a sport and a game out of it. I can go through and I can be listening through Galatians and I can hear something that triggers me and say, aha, Galatians 6:10. Aha, Galatians this. Aha, Galatians that. And I realize that I can love chapter and verse, but miss the heart of the passages. We can make an intellectual game out of the scriptures and miss the heart of love for our God and the heart of love for Christ. Storing up wisdom in our heart, it goes beyond our mind knowledge. It's in the place of our affections. It's in the place of our lives. We've referenced the idea in Philippians chapter 4, that Philippians 4 deals with the mind, that we let our mind dwell on these things that are good and these things that are pure and lovely. It deals with rejoicing in the Lord. So we have the heart and we have the mind. And then Paul goes on to say, and these things that you have seen in me, practice these things. It's more than just the head. It's also the heart and the hands that are living it out. We store up wisdom in our hearts in such a way that it overflows in our lives. So our next step, number 5, is demonstrate grace and truth. Verse 3. Even when the fool walks along the road, his sense is lacking, and he demonstrates to everyone that he is a fool. This is a passage that I would just love to memorize so that I could just throw it out at people at different points. That's pretty snotty and that's pretty arrogant. And I have to stop myself from doing things like that. Now, what is it to demonstrate being a fool? This past winter, I went running and Amos went running too. And afterwards he said, pretty easy to notice your tracks, Dad. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, they're short. And they stick out a little bit that way as you go along. Oh, I wonder what our tracks look like. What do we demonstrate as we walk along the road? What do the people who are in authority over us see? Do we demonstrate grace? Do we demonstrate truth as we walk along the road? Or do we demonstrate to everyone that we are a fool? We sang Psalm 23:3, and we see that there is a pathway in our lives that is to define us. He restores my soul, and we understand this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of Christ. We've been saved. Our soul is restored. We're given this eternal destination. He restores my soul, and I'll just provide, and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. He restores my soul, and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. That our paths, we don't look like fools, but we look like people who are walking in grace and walking in truth. Households are just such an easy example. We can look in our lives and we can look at our households and we can see stresses and pain. We can see anxieties. We can see hurt. And this always will be. This will always be the case. You could take any two people in this room and you could strand them on a desert island, and any of these two people on this island, they're going to have stresses, they're going to have pains, they're going to have hurts. We're all going to have these moments of selfishness that hurt each other. But the question will be, are we demonstrating grace in the midst of our hurt? Are we able to seek forgiveness, to confess our sins to one another, and to extend forgiveness? Are we able to heal, and are we able to grow? Can we bear with one another even as we speak the truth in love and live with each other in grace? This is to walk in wisdom. This is to walk in honor. I invite you to this place of wisdom and honor as you are waiting on the Lord. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. I invite you to this place because when we have this foundation, we're able to stand in grace. When we're clinging to Christ, who is the truth, and we know the truth, we don't have to be haughty and puffed up. We don't have to be arrogant. We don't have to fight for our own rights. Because we understand we are in Christ. We have committed our way to him. He is the desire and he is the delight of our heart. He himself will accomplish all of these good things as we are committing our way to him. And as we are standing in that place, he will give us every good thing. He will bring forth our righteousness as the light and as the noonday. It brings us to the place of peace, to the place of confidence, to the place of wisdom, to the place of honor. So our sixth step, this place of wisdom and this place of honor, is to act with an eye to the future. A wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him towards the left. This is going to look like loving peace, loving each other, forgiving each other, as we seek each other's eternal good. I remind you of Matthew 7:13, where Christ says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it." Verse 3 from Ecclesiastes 10, "Even when the fool walks along the road, his sense is lacking, and he demonstrates to everyone that he is a fool." So the question is, in your life, where are your treasures being laid up? What are you hoarding? What are you holding on to? I don't know why in my own life there was no lack of food in my house growing up or at any point in my life, but I was always very territorial over my food. It could even happen to this day. I feel like a dog sometimes with a bone that I would like to grab my food and run somewhere and hide and keep it. The question is, what are you clinging to? What are you loving? And I'll ask you, what is it that you would fight over? Where are the real tensions and the real struggles in your life? Where is that front and the battle that's pressing in on you that would cause you to respond with an anger or respond with an angst or would cause you to lash out at your neighbors? Well, when we fall back to the place of grace and say, I'm standing in grace, I'm standing in love, and Christ now is giving me the opportunity to demonstrate the same grace and the same love that I have been shown. In such a moment, that is where we are acting in accordance with wisdom, in accordance with honor, laying up our treasure in heaven. That we're not seeking to win a fight in the moment, but we're seeking to honor and to glorify Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What does this look like? It will look like demonstrating grace. It will look like speaking the truth in love. It will look like being committed to Christ and loving Him. It will look like being committed to our closest neighbors and loving them in accordance again with grace and truth. I call you to that place. I remind you of that great truth that you are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ. He has restored your soul, that you can walk in paths of loving kindness and truth. You have the opportunity to glorify Him. As we love each other, as we confess our sins to one another, as we forgive each other, and as we are spurring each other on in love and in good deeds. I invite you, live lives of wisdom and demonstrate grace and truth. Pray with me. Our Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for restoring our souls. Thank you for leading us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Father, help us, even now, to identify the pride in our lives, the arrogance. Help us to see those places where we fight and we try to win for our own glory and for our own honor. Father, we ask that you would bless us and that you would help us, that you would lead us in these paths of righteousness, these footsteps that Christ has made into the way. And we ask that you would be glorified as we die to ourselves daily, as we take up our cross, and as we follow your Son, Jesus Christ. Please forgive us for our pride. Please grant us healing. Please grant us repentance. Please add to the peace in our lives and add to the peace in our neighbors' lives. And help us each to be catching better strides together, putting off foolishness and putting on grace and truth. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for doing the good work in us. Thank you for the pathways of righteousness that you have laid out for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.